Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Manchester United Football Social with Full-Time Devils.
And we are on Is the Excess Manchester Football Social Full-Time Devils takeover once again tonight. I'm here pressing all the buttons, so I'm probably going to press the wrong one at some point. My name's Gaz Drinkwater. Hello, howdy, how are you? Joined tonight by the legend that is Jay Motti. Jay, how you doing, pal?
I'm good, mate. I like that intro. The legend that is Jay Motti. I don't hear that very often.
You are, mate. You are in my eyes. Right, everyone's going to have stuff to get off the chest tonight, I imagine. So please do get calling because, last night, the less said the better, I suppose. But we are going to be saying plenty about it for the next hour. 0345 111 7625. We're also live on YouTube as well. You can watch our, I was about to say our pretty faces, but yeah, not so much. But get in touch and rant away. Jay, where are we starting, mate, after last night?
Let's look at the positives.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Marcus Rashford, his second goal in two games. Hey, he's looking sharp. He's ready for Anfield. There you go. Phil Jones, his second Champions League goal in 8 years, I think. 7 years. Oh, the second Champions League own goal. Sorry, that was the one. Yeah. I got my stats wrong there. Second Champions League own goal in 7 years. Listen, it is what it is. I think going into that game, no one thought Young Boys were going to beat Juventus, but that doesn't excuse the fact that we should have done our job. We should have beat Valencia. And you look at the team that you put out, okay, it's not the strongest team, but there's still enough quality there. You've got Massi, you've got Pogba, you've got Lukaku. There's enough there that you think you'd be able to win last night. But it wasn't to be, and now we've got a difficult task ahead of us, and it's going to be another one of them where you're going to look at it and you think you've got out in the last 16 or whatever it is, or the second round, sorry, it's not good enough.
No, and I was going to ask you, like, because we've seen probably in the past at United where maybe we've got the Champions League group wrapped up, sorted, no problems, gone into the last game where it didn't really mean a lot, and then maybe the players have been a bit, you know, lethargic, not really that bothered, because it's a game that doesn't really mean that much. But obviously, loads of United fans furious about the performance last night. Why? Because it was a meaningless game.
But you look at it and you talk about, for starters, having pride as a footballer. You want to win every game. And I don't think for 1 minute that any footballer, any Manchester United player, goes out onto the pitch and thinks, I'm not bothered, I don't want to win. Mm. I think football is a mentality, and to get to Manchester United, even now, in our dark days, you've got to have that will to win mentality. And I think there is that. I always think there is that. But I think there's more than that. You've got to sort of be willing to give your all and fight for everything and sort of show yourself as well to the manager. Listen, there's a big game on Sunday. I want to be involved. And I think no one really did that last night, other than Rashford, who came on and he looked full of energy, and you'd expect him to play on Sunday anyway. But it was just a sort of a typical Manchester United performance this season where there was little glimpses of what we're capable of. But by and large, it was just disappointing. And you have the sort of the terrible defending that's been a trademark this season. We've gone from being one of the stingiest defences in the league to being one of the most calamitous, and it was just, we saw it now, it's not just the Phil Jones own goal, but, you know, giving the ball away constantly in the first half. It's almost like we wanted them to score in the first half. We just kept giving it until they scored, and it's just not good enough, and you worry, even though it's going to be different players on Sunday, you do worry facing that Liverpool attack, just what we're going to be up against and just how we're going to cope with it, because we just can't seem to get our act together defensively, and going forward is not much better either, so it's going to be difficult. But last night was a chance to build on the Fulham win, finish top of the group, go into Sunday feeling buoyant, and instead it's the same old story. And you've got United fans now sort of saying, oh, if he loses on Sunday, is that Mourinho gone? Lukaku's terrible. It's just, Pogba's not up for it. It's just the same things we've been hearing all season. It's just not getting any better.
Nearly said it, didn't you?
I stopped myself then.
You censored yourself. That's the sign of a true pro, that.
Thank you.
Just want to make it clear as well, because I can tell there's going to be loads of people in the comments having a go at me for what I just said before when I compared it to the days of Ferguson currently. Yeah, I'm playing devil's advocate, to be honest. I'm trying to wind you up so you get on the phones. That's what I'm trying to do. So
don't think United fans need any more winding up.
Good
just
point,
mention
Jay.
Manchester United, that'll do it.
Good point, Jay. Right, we've got Carl on the phone apparently right now. So let's speak to Carl. Carl, are you there, mate? Yeah, very good, but I don't know where you're coming from, so we'll chat to you again in a bit, Carl. I don't know what's going on with the phones. We will sort that out, though, at some point today. Right, Jay, you wanted to say a positive, didn't you, about Marcus Rashford? Of course, you were happy about his performances recently. Got a few assists. You did, of course, score as well against Valencia.
Yeah.
Where did he go?
Well, I was impressed with Rashford against Arsenal. I thought he gave his all, he looked up for it again against Fulham. What I like about Rashford is even when things aren't going his way, he's still trying, he still wants the ball, he's still making those runs, and he's fighting for things, he's running back, he's trying to make the tackle, and he plays on that sort of almost that edge as well, where you can see he gets annoyed when we're not winning, he gets annoyed, he gets angry when things aren't going our way, and I like a bit of that because you want to players to have pride, and he's got that.
That's exactly it. We are going to get Carl back on the phone very, very shortly. I've figured out what the issue was. We've got Raj on the phone right now. Raj, now our technical issues are sorted. What do you want to tell us about, mate? What do you want to rant about? Get it off your chest.
To be honest, it's not really a rant. I think I'm probably more sensible, as in I don't go over the top when we lose nowadays because it happens so often. But
there's a sad indictment of our season.
But I think the point I wanted to make was, first of all, I don't think the manager is getting the most out of the players in terms of what he should be. I think it just seems like, because we had a bad transfer, he's just given up. He's just waiting to go, as bad as that sounds. And the second thing, I think the players, now I don't think they're behind the manager, but the second thing is I don't think they're stupid enough to not make the right runs in the games, if that makes sense. Like, you see things that you think as a human being, okay, surely that makes sense to, you know, pass the ball there or to move over there. And I just don't think we're doing the simple things right. What do you guys think about that?
I think that he makes a good point there, because we talk about doing the simple things right. I'm seeing players misplace a 5-yard pass. And we're not talking about poor players, we're talking about world class or internationals, I should say. Players that, you know, have been challenging for titles in the past and winning trophies. And you're right, you look at it, sometimes it's not the 50-yard ball across the field that's not finding its target. It's just simple things like Raj is saying, it's, you know, the simple sort of pass, even a shot when you throw on goal and you're missing the target, things like that. And it just frustrates you as a fan, because you think, okay, you can understand it if you're trying the extravagant and it's not coming off, but when it's just the basics, there's no excuse for that.
Don't get me wrong, I'm fully willing to blame Jose when, you know, the style of football is what's lost us a game, so obviously, but when players are making such similar mistakes, Raj, can you really blame the manager too much if a player can't play a 5-yard pass?
For me, I think just going on, sorry, I just want to make two more points quickly so that I know that's the issue. Two more things. So first of all, the one that I don't like seeing is our fans, you know, arguing and bickering online. Like, there's no need, like, surely we should be just. But, like, the one thing that winds me up is everyone goes online, starts, you know, swearing and putting all sorts out. And it's like, just be reasonable. Like, instead of making stupid comments like, oh, the club was worthless, he needs to go, the captain needs to go. These players are bad players because we wouldn't have paid 80, 90 or 70 mil for them. And the second point I want to make is, like, in the summer, if you said to me, all right, we'll take Pochettino, I personally wouldn't have taken him in the summer. But with the way the last few months have gone, the reason why I would take him is because you can see with him, obviously, on the pitch every week that there's something going on in training. And the biggest flaw with Mourinho I have at the minute is that he's been here 3 years, and every week we go on the pitch and it doesn't seem like, okay, we've got a plan, this is what we're going to do. It just seems like, all right, guys, everyone go out, just do what you want and just try and get the win. I think, for me, that's the biggest thing that's annoying me about Mourinho at the minute, that there's not a plan when we get on the pitch of here's how we're going to play. Either we're going to pass out to the wing and cross it in for Lukaku, or we're going to play the ball through the middle. And I think that's the biggest thing.
That is it, Raj. What you've said then, it's almost, and I've said this word in the past on this show, and I hate saying this word because it reminds me of the Louis van Gaal days, but there's a lack of philosophy, isn't there?
Are you going to say that? I still don't know what that word meant to Louis van Gaal. What was his philosophy? It's still a bit of a mystery to me. But I know what you mean. I mean, I think the trouble we've got with Mourinho is he plays a certain way. And last season, he played a certain way, and it worked. And this season, he said he was going to abandon that. We were going to be more attacking, we were going to do this. But I don't think we have. We just seem to have lost. We don't seem to be playing the style that Mourinho is used to and that's been successful for him. But we don't seem to have adopted attacking style either. We seem to be caught in some sort of limbo.
We've not started attacking more. We've just started defending less, I think.
Yeah, well, it's great. Yeah, that's it. It's one of them. So you look sort of looking at you thinking, yeah, what is the plan here? I mean, you know, are we sort of trying to get down the wings? Not really. Are we going through the middle? No, it just seems like a bit of a mishmash at the minute. And I think we are suffering from some of our better players or some of our more important players not performing to the level they can do. We mentioned them, Pogba, we mentioned Lukaku. You can maybe throw Nemanja Matic into that. Any defender you want to mention. I don't think any of our defence have really shone this season. So, yeah, the manager's got to take some responsibility, but you expect your best players to play a lot better than they are doing at this moment in time.
I believe if we head to the phones now, Jeremy should be there. Jeremy, are you there, mate?
Hiya,
mate. You want to talk about Lukaku, don't you? He's a player who's coming for a lot of criticism, understandably, and his first touch did look particularly shocking in that Valencia game, it has to be said. Jeremy, what do you want to say, mate?
Well, basically, his first touch, it's still on the moon right now. It's got even worse than last season. I personally think he got 27, 28 goals last year, but he disappeared towards the end of the year. Mm. And then he went to the World Cup. He bossed at the World Cup. But after the World Cup, he came back. How much weight has he put on? Too much weight. Who's let him do that?
I don't understand how you can be playing for Man United and be overweight. However, in Lukaku's defence, I don't actually know. I've not actually weighed him myself. I don't know if he's actually put on weight. I'm not sure if it's just certain pictures.
The camera adds 10 angles. Pounds, that's what it is. It's that 4K cameras they've got.
This is going to sound mad, right? And it sounds like a bloody housewife after Christmas trying to convince herself she's not put on weight. But I think it's United's kit that makes him look a bit bigger.
It's them stripes. There's stripes at the bottom.
It is the sideways stripes. That is what I'm sure about it. But he has looked less fit this year, hasn't he, Jay?
I think...
Yeah,
sorry, go on.
He's more sluggish, definitely. He's more slow. His feet are always underneath. He's underneath his own feet all the time. He can barely kick a ball anymore. I mean, when he got that goal, I was happy for him, but have we really seen Lukaku ever score last goal, or has it always been tappings in the box?
I think
is he really the striker we need?
I don't care what sort of goals he scores, as long as he scores them. You know, Chicharito scored lots of goals inside the box. No, I didn't mind that. I think there's a couple of things with Lukaku. One, I know you said he bossed it at the World Cup. I don't think he did. He scored two against, was it Tunisia, two against Panama. I saw him in some of the bigger games against the likes of, was it France? Didn't play well. Even the third place playoff against England, I thought he was very poor. And I think he's suffering from a bit of confidence. And I think you look at him, people are saying he's sluggish, he's not making the runs he should. I actually don't know if he wants the ball. I actually think he's at that point where he is struggling. He's struggling to control it. He's turned into a sort of constant meme. The crowd are on his back. And I think there's an element of him panicking and not maybe wanting the ball. Well, that sounds crackers for a striker. But it happens, and I think he might be suffering from a bit of confidence because he's having to play a bit of a different way than he's used to playing at his previous clubs, or maybe for his country, where he's dropping deep and sort of having to hold it up, and he's not really that type of player. And I just think it's a matter of confidence. I don't necessarily think it's his physical ability or his physical weight. I just think he's really suffering from confidence, and that's something that where you maybe need a manager to put your arm around you and fans to give you a bit of a lift, and I don't think he's got either of those two things at the minute.
That's exactly it, because he's been in a bit of bad form recently. He almost looks like he doesn't want to be playing football every time he comes onto the pitch. And also recently we saw he blocks all Instagram comments on his Instagram profile. I know this might be me looking into things a little bit too much, but maybe it does show a slightly weaker mentality that he can't take some of the criticism he's been getting. However, you can imagine that he's been getting criticism that isn't warranted.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a sort of the most difficult job coming to United after Zlatan, who was a fan's favourite, who was one of the world's greatest players. All right, he wasn't at the time we had him, but he was still a very, very good player who scored a lot of goals and was a huge success. You're coming into United, you're a big money signing, lots of expectation. It's not like being at Everton or West Brom. It's not like that at all. And all of a sudden, you know, you're at a point where even if you score nearly 30 goals a season, it's not necessarily a success unless you win things, unless you're scoring the goals in the important games against the Liverpools, against the Cities and teams like that. So it does. It probably has got to him a little bit, and I don't think the World Cup helped him. I think he looked to the World Cup. Yeah, you know, he scored 4 goals and they got to the semis, but he missed a lot of chances from what I saw, and I wonder whether he came back from the World Cup feeling a little bit disappointed that maybe he didn't get the gold boot, maybe he didn't sort of get him to the final. Pressure's on him, not doing too well early season, and he's just not sort of got to the levels that we need, and I don't see how he's turning it around at the minute, because at the moment, like I say, he just looks bereft of confidence. You're saying, I think you can look into something like that. He's stopping comments on Instagram. He's not stopping compliments, is he?
No.
He's not getting loads of praise and he's saying, oh, I can't handle this, it's going to my head. It's just getting hammered. And you think if he's blocking him, he must be looking at him to see that and think, I've had enough of that. So, you know, you want him to play well. You want him to score goals for United. And I think there is a good player there. And I think hopefully, you know, we just... something needs to change. I don't necessarily think it's a new manager. I think we need sort of maybe a different approach to the manager. The crowd get behind him. He hopefully can sort of get a few goals. I don't care how he gets them, and get his confidence back up, because we need him. We do. Don't get me wrong. You know, we've got Rashford. Yes, we've got Martial, but we need Romelu Lukaku. We need him firing on all cylinders.
Carl, we were just about to get Carl back on air, and he's literally just cancelled the call. But Carl, call us back. We'll get you on. We'll get you on. We answered the phone before, and randomly his voice started coming from a corner of the studio. I was like, what's going on? Right, we'll chat to one more person before we go to a dead quick break then on the phones. Nathan is there. Nathan wants to talk about higher up at the club, the board of directors, don't you, Nathan?
Yes, mate. Hope you're all right as well.
Thanks, Nathan.
I think... that the club now, the directors, like the Glazer family, are using United not as a football team to try and get trophies. I think they want to rake as much money in as they possibly can for themselves. I don't think they're looking towards the fans. I don't think they're looking towards how the club is going. I think with the Sanchez signing, I don't think that was a good signing for the club, as you can clearly tell. I think that was, with how you saw it broadcasted on social media and everywhere, I thought that made them think, right, that's more shirt sales for us, that's more tickets, that's going to get bought to see a world star that was a world star at Arsenal, now playing for us. And they announced the Australian pre-season tour as well. I don't think any of the fans are interested in that at all. I don't think none of us care about a pre-season tour in Australia. That's more money for them to also rake in. I think
the Australian fans might care, mate.
Yeah, obviously to them, of course, but like towards this season, like I can say for myself, I certainly don't care about what teams they're going to be playing in pre-season. Yeah. I care, really. I think as well, with the game that's coming up, you know, United-Liverpool, I think that is like the El Clasico of England. United versus Liverpool, to me, is one of the biggest games that England play, league-wise.
Yeah.
And City, of course, but I don't think all the blame can put towards Mourinho and Pogba and stuff like that. I mean, you see yesterday, you think the players that haven't been playing, they would have put absolutely everything into what they could possibly do yesterday in order to play against Liverpool, because they know how big that game is. I think Fred was just a spectator yesterday. I think Pogba, you could see he's trying to get as much people forward so he can make a pass, but when he's going to make the pass, it's like they just stand still. No, everyone's watching the ball, but they won't go and follow it. It's really frustrating at the minute.
Nathan, thanks for calling. Really do appreciate that, mate. Right, we're going to go to a quick break. Carl's on the line. We'll be chatting to Carl about the upcoming Liverpool game after this break. Before we go, though, got a dead quick quiz question for you, which I've just been told before we came on air today by producer Chris, that producer Chris writes this question every week, and apparently every week on the XS Manchester Football Social, Joe takes credit for it.
Typical.
So
typical,
I'm not taking credit for it. Hey. This is producer Chris's question, and it is quite a good one. Marcus Rashford scored his 45th and 46th goals for MUFC this week.
Not from what I'm reading.
35th. My apologies. That was me misreading.
So you get the question wrong, then pass it to Chris.
35th and 36th goals for MUFC this week. What I want to know, though, is who has more goals for the club, Marcus Rashford or Carlos Tevez?
Manchester United Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Manchester United Football Social with Full Time Devils.
Yes, it is the XS Manchester Football Social Full-Time Devils Takeover. We do this every Thursday at 6 p.m. Gaz Drinkwater here today with Jay Motti while Joe's at the Christmas do. I didn't get an invite. Right, let's check the phones then. In fact, actually, before we go to the phones, I've got to reveal the question, the answer to the question that I asked earlier on. I asked you, who scored more goals for Manchester United, Marcus Rashford or Carlos Tevez? Jay, what were you saying, mate?
I think it's Rashford, because I don't think Tevez... I think Tevez scored some important goals rather than a lot of them. It's only had two seasons.
This is horrible to talk about, because, let's face it, we all hate Carlos Tevez now as Man United fans. But when he was at United, I did quite like it.
I know. It still bothers me we didn't start him in the Champions League final in 2009.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
Not that it made much of a difference, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, yeah, still. We got absolutely outclassed that night. I was there. I remember it well. Yeah, the answer is, of course, Marcus Rashford. Marcus Rashford has now overtaken Carlos Tevez for goals scored for Manchester United, which is the accolade that all young players want one day, innit?
Never mind your trophies and your title challenges. That's what matters.
Carl's on the phone. We've finally managed to get Carl on the phone, and he wants to talk about the upcoming Liverpool game. Carl, thank you for being patient, mate.
Nah, that's all right, no problem. Yeah, like I said, obviously I'm from London, obviously big United fan. I just don't know where to start, really, with it. It's really, really, really painful to watch them at the moment. Really painful. I mean, to be honest with you, when Mourinho first obviously came to United, I knew he weren't the right man. You know, it's the signings he's bought. You know, Fred, I mean, he's going to turn out to be another like Cleverson. You know, it's just, you know, Bailey, I don't think's any good. But obviously, the decent signings that we have got since Ferguson's left is what Moore's has obviously brought in. Mata, I think he's probably one of our best midfielders, better than Pogba. Matic, I don't see, you know why he's good. He's just not good enough for that team. And the defence is just unreal. I mean, none of them defenders will get in to any Premiership side. And none of them. They're absolute rubbish.
Rubbish. I mean, I know you're exaggerating slightly, Carl, surely.
No, honestly, I'm not. No, I mean, you name what defender in our United team will get into City's team? What player?
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Well, then you're talking City's team there, though.
Remember, like, any Premier League team.
Yeah.
They might get in Huddersfield, some of them.
Well, I don't know, but you look at Phil Jones, what he done, he's done it, FA Cup final against Chelsea, messed up, and he done the same thing to Hazard in England, against Belgium, and that should have been it for him. He should have gone, that was it, he shouldn't play anymore. Same with Smalling, you know, and with Lindelof, I don't rate him. I do not rate him at all.
I think the problem is, they're average players, aren't they? They're average players.
Yeah,
like Phil Jones, Chris Smalling, Victor Lindelof.
I think Lindelof, though, he's to be fair, he's coming on a little bit this season. I mean, it's early doors. Smalling and Jones, fair enough, they've been there for, 8 years now, is it? 7 years? I get where you're coming from, because, I've said it before, we're still waiting for Phil Jones to fulfil his potential after 200 games. Mm. It's ridiculous. Mm. But I think Lindelof, I'd give him a bit of a break, because I think we've seen a bit of an improvement this season. But, you know, the standard, as you mentioned there, I can't remember a time when so few players in our defence would get into our rivals' defences.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying there with Lindelof, and I'm not dismissing him. I'm not saying he's rubbish.
I mean, that's not the be-all and end-all, is it, Lindelof?
The standard that he's at the moment, I think, is as of a squad player, and I think that you can say the same for pretty much any central defender we have in the team right now. Like Chris Smalling, Phil Jones, the likes of those guys, they could actually redeem themselves at Man United if for the next few years they were actually played as a squad player. And they were just coming in occasionally.
It's been interesting. I don't know what you think, mate, but the fact that you've got, you know, you mentioned the fact that Jose Mourinho's bought in all these players, they're not successful, but we still rely on so many players from the Fergie era. It's ridiculous.
Like I said,
the FA Cup final, we have six players from the Ferguson era in the FA Cup final last season.
Yeah, go on, Carl. What is it you want to say there, mate?
Anyway, you could turn around and say, yeah, but that's what Fergie left us in a rubbish side. When he left, it wasn't a really good side, was it? You know, he brought in Jones, he brought in Smalling. But to me, you've got to blame Mourinho and at Woodward as well. But, you know, if it was me, obviously, but I'd say, right, look, God, I've got to look at this team now. You know, you're not going to win anything with that United side. You're going to win nothing. I'm telling you now, you will not win anything. Not with him in charge and not with the players they got.
Right, okay.
Mourinho's done something in that dressing room. They've got no confidence whatsoever. They're just running around like headless chickens. They've got all their heads down. The only player who wears that shirt and plays that shirt is Marcus Rashford. He's the only player. The rest of them, they've got to get rid of them. And honestly, we're just going to be another Liverpool side.
Carl,
the trouble with that is normally you'd be straight on someone, but you're talking a lot of sense, Carl. I get what you're saying. I think that I think the problem for me is we've got a lot of aging players or players that are coming to us in the career that perhaps, you know, should have been moved on by now that haven't been, that are still getting regular games. We've got some younger players that are coming up who perhaps aren't quite at the level that we want. And I always think at United we've had a call of three or four world-class players. Because for me, it's not the issue isn't your fringe players, isn't the likes of your Herreras or your Fellainis or players like that.
No.
Because we've always had that sort of player. We've always had your Phil Neville's or your Jesper Blomqvist or your, Jonathan Green or whatever. Some players, maybe not him, he didn't get any games. Mikel Silvestre or whatever. Players that come in, play sort of 20 or 30 games a season, but we still win titles because you've had a core of your Ryan Giggs's, your Beckhams, your Keens, your Scholes, your Ronaldo's to build that around. And now I think our core, this is what I was going back to earlier, our Pogba's, our Lukaku, Matic, De Gea, who obviously the only one who's probably can definitely say is world class. We haven't got enough of a decent core. They're not playing at a level high enough for us to get away with having certain players.
And obviously, I want us to win against Liverpool. I can't stand City. But, you know, I'll breathe United. United's in my blood. You know, and I love the team defeats just like the two guys do.
Yeah.
I just want to see them do well. You know, if they play well, I can turn around and say, all right, we lost, but we played really well. We tried, but they've got all their heads down. Something's gone on in that dressing room. Something has gone on in that dressing room.
So Carl thinks it's like a mentality thing, really, more than anything. Carl, before you get off, can I get a score prediction for the Liverpool game, mate?
I'll be happy with a draw, to be fair. I want them to win, but I can't see it. I mean, I want them to do well, but, you know, I really don't know. But they could surprise us and turn up. And, you know, do something they did against Juventus. You never know, but I can't see it.
Carl, appreciate your call, mate. Appreciate your call. If anyone wants to get in touch today with the XS Manchester Football Social, you can do 0345 111 625. That is the number. Sorry, 7625. That is the number. Right, Manuel's here on line one. Manuel, are you going to bring a bit of positivity to the Football Social? You're not, are you?
I'm not.
Go on, Manuel. What's up, mate?
I just want to talk about Mourinho and how he needs to go. I think he's the main problem. To be honest, right, I don't want to compare us to a City or a Chelsea or a Liverpool, but those teams don't go to like a Burnley or a Fulham and think, don't sit there and go, oh, right, so they have Mitrovic, right? Okay, big threat. All right, let's slot Fernandinho in the middle of Otamendi and Stones, whoever they play. They don't do that. You know, I'm not sure why Mourinho is so reactionary. I mean, we don't have, an identity.
I think this is the thing that a lot of people are coming out with at the minute. It is the lack of identity at United. But, Manuel, you said then that you put most of the blame on Jose. Do you not think that, like, the lack of identity at the club has, you could argue, has been going for years and years and years now, ever since the Glazers took over?
To be honest, right, I wouldn't... I'll backtrack. I wouldn't put most of the blame on him.
Okay.
I'd say maybe, the structure of the club is wrong. You know, the way modern football is going, we don't have a modern structure. If you look at it, the way we do everything, nothing is modern. The structure of the club is not modern. The way we play is not modern. If you look at Spurs, City, play out from the back, I wouldn't say we do that.
We definitely do not do that.
Yep. To be honest, nothing you do is modern. And also, one thing I really want to emphasize is that silly argument that people used to bring up when they were comparing Jose with Pep, saying that, oh, Jose doesn't need money to win stuff. I think that argument is now rendered useless. I think it's evident now.
I think especially when all the other clubs around you in the league are spending amounts of money.
I think a lot of arguments were made about Jose and Pep. I don't think anyone who said that Jose didn't need money to win things with talking any sense. He's always spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I think Pep has, I think, you know, obviously we're miles behind City at the minute, and it's depressing, because actually when City got Pep and we got Jose, I was happy. I thought we could challenge, and I think for the first season, things looked pretty even Stevens, and then obviously we've sort of just got further and further apart in a minute. But yeah, obviously the manager has to take some responsibility. But for me, in the summer, if we're not going to back the manager, then get rid of him. And we obviously didn't back him, because he's made it quite clear he wanted a defender, he didn't get one. That's not the be-all and end-all. But then if you're not going to back the manager, get rid of him. Get rid of him and get in a manager you believe in. Or you back him, and they didn't do either, they kept him. Fred brought in, he doesn't seem to rate him. I don't know why. I don't know whose decision was that. I don't know if Jose Mourinho's decision, someone else's. For whatever reason, he doesn't like rate him. The lot, we've seen glimpses now of what he can do. Well, we've seen more than glimpses. He looks like a really good player. Hopefully, he can continue the recent form we've seen. And Lee Grant's a third choice goalkeeper. That's not going to catch Manchester City, who've gone out and broke their transfer record after finishing 19 points ahead of us. So it was just, it didn't make any sense what the board did. And I've never known a United manager go into the season saying, basically, we're really, you know, we're in the doghouse here, we're going to struggle. And that's what he said. And he made it clear that he hadn't been back to the players that he needed. And I don't get that. I think if you don't rate Mourinho, you don't think he's the man for the job, then fair enough, get rid of him and get someone in that you do. But don't keep him and not back him, because you've just made this sort of poison chalice now that, you know, a new manager. We'll talk about Pochettino. Is Pochettino going to want to come into this mess? Zidane was another one that muted, and apparently he said he didn't want anything to do with it. And who can blame him at this moment in time? That's the problem you've got.
0345 111 7625 is the number. We've got Gavin on the phone next. Thank you very much, by the way, Manuel, for calling in today. Appreciate that. Gavin, we're going international. We're going intercontinental now, because Gavin's coming from Salt Lake City, United States of America. How are you doing, Gavin?
Hey, full-time Devils. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I am good, mate. Good to hear from you. Very good. What do you want to talk about, mate?
Oh, man. Well, I just kind of want to talk about that formation yesterday that he put out, because, like, when I heard that Pereira was starting, you know, I was actually excited, you know, maybe we'd get Matic out and maybe we'd get some younger guys in. But, I mean, it just didn't make sense to me. I mean, we started five center midfielders and then Lukaku up top. Like, can you tell me what the game plan was for yesterday at all, either of you?
Mate, you could ask me the game plan for any game this season, and I don't think I'd be able to tell you. Seriously.
There's a game plan.
There was a
game plan knocking around.
It was a weird situation before the Valencia game, because, like, I agree with Gavin in that I was very happy with that team, and the midfield especially, to see those players playing with each other. Pereira, a player I was happy to see back in the team. Something a bit different as well, because we've not seen him.
I don't mind that. I mean, some people say, no, you should have just thrown all the youngsters in, but I don't think that's necessarily the answer. Is throwing, you know, loads of youngsters in. I think you have to, for starters, you have to keep some players happy who aren't getting a game. Secondly, they need game time just in case you do need him. So a little bit of a mix, I get that. And I didn't look at that team and thought, what's he doing? I thought that was a decent team. There's certain players in there that I thought could win us the match. But like you say, there's no plan. When you've got that team, they don't seem to know what they're doing. You don't seem to have players playing in a role or a certain sort of position where they're certain of what their job is. It just seems to be a bit of a mess. And you're not helped, obviously, when defenders just make silly mistakes that you can't really account for.
Gavin, I know that you mentioned before to our producer that you want to talk about Pereira in particular, Andreas Pereira. He's a bit of an enigma at United at the moment, isn't he? And he has been for the past few years, really. It's like he said, he got sent out on loan, didn't he? Where everyone was like, why are we loaning him out? He's good enough to be playing. And now he's getting in the team, or he got in the team against Valencia. I'll be honest, he didn't look that good. Gavin, how good is Andreas Pereira?
Well, I think he's a quality player. He's not getting played in the right spot. I mean, I think that last 15 minutes of the game, when it was Pereira and Pogba and then Mata at the 10, and they finally threw Fellaini up top. But, I mean, that's when we looked the best, right? And, I mean, in the preseason tour, too, Pereira was probably the player of the team. And I feel like Mourinho last year just got so angry when he decided to go out on loan. And if you think Pereira leaves in January, I mean, if you think Pereira is almost like a Pep player, like, I can see him starting week in, week out for City or even Chelsea. Like, I feel like if we lose him in January, he's just going to be brilliant somewhere else. And that's just, like, frustrating if you look at, like, Daley Blind this year and Memphis Depay. Like, players leave United and they're getting better.
Hang about, Gavin. I'm sorry, mate. I'm pulling you up on that comment.
You're
right.
Doing all right at first, then. We're a little bit.
Right, hang on. Daley Blind's playing in the Dutch league. Memphis Depay's playing in the French league. I'm not having that they've improved since leaving Man United.
I'm just saying, like, if you look at it, would you rather have Blind or Matic right now?
Well, all right. Well, that's a fair point, actually. Yeah. I probably would rather have Daily Blind bossing it in the Dutch team.
Do you know what, though? I feel a little bit sorry for Nemanja Matic. It seems to be a growing theme that I feel sorry for these players.
Why?
But, because he picked it almost every week, no matter how often he plays. He keeps getting picked. I think he's becoming sort of like a focal point. It's like Lukaku. It's all his Matic's fault. Before it was the Juventus game, my timeline was going berserk about the fact that Matic played, and we won. And it's like, and he played all right. And it's like, it's not all his fault. And the part of the reason he's getting played every week is because other players aren't stepping up. And yes, Pereira looked good in pre-season. I think the Brighton game was a bit of a watershed for Pereira. He didn't play very well. I think he got hooked at half-time, was it? Or not long after. And he didn't really seem to get himself back into contention after that when he'd been starting early in the season. Where his possessed position is, I thought it was sort of like further forward, but Mourinho's been using him, although he didn't use him last night, as a defensive midfielder. So, he is an enigma. I don't see Mourinho giving him much game time. I don't see Mourinho trusting him to get us out of this mess. I think Mourinho's going to revert to type and go with the players like Nemanja Matic and Herrera and Fellaini.
I just don't think we've seen him enough. It feels like loads of people are saying how brilliant he is, and I'm like, I've not actually seen
him. He's another one, like, in a couple of seasons ago, he was like, you thought he was almost ready.
Yeah.
And then, like, a Fosu Mensah or whatever, and then he sort of tailed off a little bit, and then he had such a good pre-season, where he showed a different side to his game than from certainly what I'd seen. He thought, oh, you know, he might be the sort of the answer we're looking for in that sort of that defensive midfield role, and it's just not, I don't know, it's not happening, is it? And Mourinho's probably not, no matter what you think of Mourinho, he's not the type of manager who's going to get, you know, put his faith in young players.
Take a risk on him.
No, it's not really certainly not when we're struggling for sixth place.
Raj is on the phone. Raj wants to talk about Pogba and Mourinho, and I'm guessing you're talking about the relationship they have with each other, mate.
Damn right, brother, damn right. What's happening, full-time devil, what's happening, guys?
Yes, yeah. Mate, good to speak to you, pal.
Too much negativity. I'm here to spread some positivity,
yes,
if I can, innit?
Yeah, that's
fine. I like this sound of this.
All right, cool. Let's start with Pogba Mourinho, yeah? So, I heard a lot of people, you know, saying that Pogba could leave Man United and do well in other teams and it will blow and it will hurt us. But same way, I feel like Mourinho could leave Man United right now, go to Real Madrid, spank up the Spanish league, yeah, and win the Champions League. So it's not a case of blaming the case on Mourinho or Pogba. I'm trying to say, with Pogba, you have to. The guy's getting like £200,000 a week. He still needs an arm around his shoulder. He still needs players to play around him. He's still. It's too much, bro. He needs to play for the club, bro. You know what I'm trying to say? He needs to think, forget what's going on with Mourinho. Let's just go out there for the fans, because the fans got my back in it. Because everyone's got Pogba's back over Mourinho. You know what I'm trying to say? So he needs to repay what he's doing. Like, he needs to put a work in the training session. He needs to fix the differences with Mourinho. And he needs to just get on with it, bro. We say, like, this season's a write-off, bro. Yeah? Let's do what we can. The only thing we've got going right now is the Champions League, fam. Yeah? All guns blazing, bro. Let's go. We finished second last year. Yeah? These times now, yeah? The owners should have been like, you know what? We finished second. Let's give Jose the firepower and whatever player he wants. We've got the money for it. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I'd rather the money get spent on players. I don't care if you're paying £50-80 million on players that are worth £40 million. End of the day, that's going to players to benefit the club and not the owners' pockets, bro. To pay off the interest money that they pay for the club. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Because all I see is commercial this, commercial that. And every time I go to social media, I'm seeing clickbaits with Jose this and Pogba that. And do you know what I'm trying to say? But it's much more bigger than Pogba and Mourinho. Do you know what I'm trying to say, fam?
Yeah,
and
totally.
I see people like, you know, we beat Fulham. Yeah, it's been a while since we've got this kind of, like, you know, 3-goal lead and, you know, win and stuff like that. People still negative, bro. Like, bro, you shouldn't be watching football, bro. If you're upset about a 3-1 win, bro. You know what I'm trying to say, bro? You should be happy, bro. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? You support the club no matter what. Win, lose, or draw. If Man United was in the second division right now, fam, I'll still be supporting Man United the same way, because that's my club, bro. You know what I'm trying to say? And people as well, like, they must be watching. They must have been supporting Man United recently, because they have to understand, fam, yeah? You know, the greatest manager ever for Man United, Alex Ferguson, yeah? He took a bit of time to mould into his era of football, because these times there was a lot of drunk players, there was a lot of smoking players, whatever. You have to give him a bit of time. If you guys, the guys that are Jose out, they were supporting Man United when Alex Ferguson first started, they probably won't be Man United fans, because they don't like the, instant wins and 4-0 FC and stuff like that, fam. See, Mourinho, yeah, he's been trying, like, obviously, I'm not Jose in, yeah? I'm not Jose out either. I'm just on Man United doing well, bro. So I'm trying to say, get down and get the work done, yeah? But at the end of the day, it's like, you have to understand, fam, yeah? Jose, before even the ball was kicked, he knew there was problems, fam. You should have backed him. You should have backed him, bro. You know, you should give him an extension like a couple of months before, and then you see footballers are showcasing themselves in the World Cup. You know what players to get. You know where we're weak from, yeah? We need to go and get them players. So my man's, the way I see it, my man's been given a spoon to a knife fight, bro. You know what I'm trying to say? And he's trying to make do whatever he's got. Certain man ain't playing for him. Certain man acting, oh, yeah, this and, oh, yeah, that, fam, and not getting on. See, man's like Herrera. See, man's like Rashford. They're fans of the club, bro. You know what I'm trying to say? They're not fans of, oh, I like football and this and that. They get on with, they F the social media, fam, yeah?
Yeah.
They want to just play for the club and just get the win, fam. They just want to get on with it, fam. So it's one of them ones where it's harsh on people that want to play for the club and do anything for the club to get dropped for people like Pogba and stuff like that, fam, yeah? That just when they're bothered on their day. You see Pogba, fam, he'll lose the ball, yeah? And he'll put his hand in his head like, oh, damn, whatever, fam. You see Rashford lose the ball, he'll run back. Cut off the passes, fam. We want win the ball back and try and get it back, fam. You see, Pogba, he don't do them things there, fam. I'm a big fan of Pogba. Don't get it twisted. I want him to do well. But I can't see it, fam. Like, I feel like slyly, he's like a fraud, bro. You know what I'm trying to say? Because like, we're not, like, he's not a big boy goal scorer. He won't get you 20 goals, bro. You know what I'm trying to say a season, bro, yeah? But at least chip in with something, bro. You know what I'm trying to say, fam? Like, do something, fam. Like, we don't have to be easy. We have to cater for one player, bro. And like, I'm not trying to say, everyone else is getting affected by it, bro. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, Raj, mate, really good point. You know what? Sometimes, if we had more time, we'd keep you on the phone, but sometimes we have the odd caller where I just get to sit back and just let
you
go.
No, I'll tell you what, I love a lot of what he said there.
I just want to say, you guys are doing a great job. You guys are doing a great job here, man. You know what I'm trying to say, bro? Get a man like Gazba, I see you every week on full-time demo.
Yes,
everything, bro. It's good to have you behind the callers, bro, instead of in front of the comments, bro, because I comment you all the time, bro, man.
And, appreciate bro, it, mate.
Matt could have a little rest, eh?
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Call in every week, mate, we really appreciate it.
This guy
that.
Was positive. That he is positivity, he wasn't lying.
A bit of positivity there, 0345 117 625 is the number if you want to call in and get your opinion on Man United on the Football Social full-time Devils takeover. Right, before we go to a next break, slightly late, I need to ask you another quick quiz question, don't I, written by producer Chris. Sergio Romero made his 40th appearance for Man United this week. Which European Cup winning midfielder has he now overtaken on the appearance list? And we are talking like proper United legend status here. Find out who it is next.
Manchester United Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Manchester United Football Social with Full Time Devils.
Here we are, it is the XS Manchester Football Social Thursday evening, so you know what that means, 6 till 7, all things Manchester United here on Full Time Devils. Right, before the break, I asked Jay in the studio here, Jay Motti, hi Jay, and everyone at home listening, quick quiz question. So, Sergio Romero made his 40th appearance for Manchester United this week. Which European Cup winning midfielder has he overtaken on the appearance list? Jay, who are you saying it is? Oh, hang on, Jay. You're on, who are you saying it is?
I've narrowed it down to two, and I can't wait to mind up which one, so I'm going to go for Owen Hargreaves.
Owen Hargreaves. Bang on, correct.
Yes.
Owen Hargreaves, who made 39 appearances.
I knew it would be close. I knew it was around the 40 mark.
You know what? Owen Hargreaves, I'll say this. He was a very underrated player.
If you could go back in time, you'd always buy Owen Hargreaves, wouldn't you? Because of that season.
Totally.
Because he made a difference. He helped us win the double.
Started in the European Cup final.
Exactly.
Started right wing.
Played a blinder in a few games. Barcelona played a game there. In the league as well.
Correctly. And 2006 in the World Cup as well. He was brilliant.
It's just
there,
a shame that he was made of glass and then went to City.
Exactly. Yeah. Massive shame. Massive shame. Right. Ryan's on the phone. Ryan wants to talk about the lack of direction in the team, which has been a bit of a theme of tonight's show. You all right, Ryan?
Ryan is in Robson, not Ryan is in Giggs.
Oh, sorry. All right, Brian. All right, mate.
Yeah, the both good. We're letting off. just a general, not only just a lack of direction. Just, you know, I said to the guy who took the call, but, you know, going, and I know Raz's confidence and his positivity lifted me slightly. But going into this weekend against Liverpool, I don't think I've ever been this dejected.
We've got no chance.
We got nothing. I just think we're going to get railroaded.
Mate, well, we've been here in the past, right? Now, I understand the negativity at the minute. I honestly think it's warranted, so I don't even have a go at it anymore because you're justified. But there are times in the past, and what I said earlier on about the Louis van Gaal era, where we were playing even worse football than this, and then we come up against the big team and suddenly get a win.
Yeah, but I don't know if we're ever this inconsistent, we're ever this bad. Mm. And I just think we've always had one or two players in the changing room who were Manchester through and through, who will grab the young players and the international players and say, you know, this means a lot to the fans, this means a lot to the club to win this game. And we've always had that. And I don't see any players in that changing room at the minute who will do that. I mean, the likes of Rashford, I think he would if he had a bigger presence, you know, if he was a little bit older, I think maybe he would. But I don't see, like, your Keane or your Scholesy or your Giggs, you know, that type of player. I don't see anyone like that at the minute, and it's worrying.
It's just players who almost take pride in their own performances sometimes, I think, Jay. I mean, earlier on, the point was made about Paul Pogba and his almost lack of effort, how it comes sometimes in the team. Do you agree with that? Or?
I think the trouble with Pogba, I don't think he doesn't want to win. I just don't know if he hates losing enough. Does that make sense? Someone like Rashford, he can tell he hates losing. Yeah. He's fuming, he fights for everything. Sometimes with Pogba, you get the impression that, yeah, he wants to win and he tries to win, but when we lose, you know, he's posing for pictures with the opposition players. He's sort of like, ah, well, Celavi, let's crack on, you know what I mean? It's not in the will. And you want the player, like, to have that sort of edge where, like, a Keane or a Robson, the chap mentioned Brian Robson there, who hated losing, who would do everything they can to avoid it. Ferguson hated losing, you know, and I think that with Pogba, he's not got that mentality. I think that he tries. I don't believe Paul Pogba doesn't try. I'm not buying into that at all. But I don't know if he hates losing enough, and I think that's the difference. And I think for a game like Liverpool, you should be going into that game thinking, no matter what, we can't lose this. This is it. Do you know what I mean? And like, I get what you're saying. Where under Van Gaal, we were sort of almost as bad, if not worse. And I think we probably were a bit worse. But I'm with Brian. I can't remember this much negativity going into a game against Liverpool.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes left of the show. Mike on the phone. Mike wants to sort of talk about the big bosses at Manchester United at the minute. Mike, are you there, mate?
Yeah, I'm still here, guys.
How are you doing, pal? Go on then. The big bosses are the problem, you say?
Well, the way I look at it is that this is sort of a spin-off of Adam's despondent post, or, you know, on outside the Nag's Head after Valencia. It made me think about things deeply for a while about the club. Basically, not everybody, not generalised, but most of the people that are phoning in and making comments are all talking about the players, about Mourinho, about possible substitutions, about moving people on, moving the manager on. Can nobody else see what I'm seeing, which is that we've gone through three managers since Ferguson. The club's had numerous big signings and small signings. We're not going forwards. We're going sort of sideways. I wouldn't say backwards particularly, but sideways. There doesn't seem to be a lot of progress. And for me, looking at it and analysing it, well, I analyse it as a businessman, so I look at it this way. My business is failing miserably. Mm. I'm blaming the people in the factory. You've got to look above that. So you look at Mourinho, and that's what most people are doing.
So you're blaming the Glazers, Ed Woodward, that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely the Glazers, 100%. Why? This isn't an anti-Glazers rant.
Mike, really appreciate what you're saying, mate. We are running out of time for the show today. If you want to give us a call next week, though, we'll get you back on 0345 111 7625. Mike there, putting a lot of blame on Ed Woodward and the Glazers. Right, the XS Manchester full-time Devils takeover of the Football Social is back next week, next Thursday at 6 p.m. Jay, thank you very much, mate. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. That's a perverse pleasure. Talking about United.
Manchester United Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.